The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life but put a smile on your face. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. If you've been watching the news, the only thing I can say to you of late is you should be somewhat laughing. This is like a Broadway show. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use? Probably won't, but it would be really effective if we did. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow at the same time real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I'll be your host for the next 5,400 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen. And we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy, existing as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that he died on the cross, he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again, and that our surrender to the testimony of God, our repentance and turn towards the face of God, is a salvation moment, a salvation beginning, but it's not the end. It's not one yes. It's a lifetime of yeses to Jesus. That's the requirement. And sometimes that is a bit of a struggle for some of us. So we want you to have that opportunity to talk about that as well. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want you to let it die of loneliness. That would be sad. Just give us a call at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You'll talk to Terrific T. That'll be terrific. You can text us at 214-210-8483. Comes right here to my not expensive phone on my not expensive phone holder on the not expensive radio desk. 214-210-8483. Or you can email david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. That comes to my $1.19 Chromebook, but I can see it, and that's what counts. Speaking of hemustincrease.org, that's our website where we have different clips, audio, video, different things on there, a couple of jokes, and some encouraging things, plus some pictures, gives you a little feel for what I look like and what my life's about. We encourage you to check that out because it's also a place to give, which we think is a great idea if the Lord enables you and you are so led to do so. This is a Christian community, not your church. Take care of your church first. Take care of the priorities first. If the Lord puts it on your heart afterwards or in some other way to give to us, great. But the way to check that out is go to hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so we have this opportunity, and if you have a praise report, a prayer request, if you have a thought, if you have something that is going on in your life and you've been really sensing the Lord's teaching you and you want to share it, or if you've just got a question, if it's simple, we'll do our best to answer. If it's complex, and we brought this up many times, like the difference between free will and predestination, it's not going to be answered in 3 seconds. Okay? I mean, that's been going on for thousands of years. But what we will tell you is this. Every one of us, Bible-believing, born-again Christians, And those of you who are listening who are not Christians, which we encourage you, we implore you to make that decision to become a Christian, to surrender to Jesus Christ and ask him to live in your heart so that you can have a new life, a real life, not a fake life. For those of us who are in this position of being Bible-believing, born-again Christians, our goal here is simple. It's a Christian community where we want to encourage each other to get one step closer to the Lord each and every day and in each and every circumstance. That's a big desire that we have. So if you have a prayer request, a praise report, like we said, we'll do Bible trivia in a little bit. Not quite yet. So we're going to have a little bit of fun, though, today. Because we have a little bit of fun kind of every day. Today I'm going to start off doing a little teaching in Psalms. We've done Psalm 1, 2, 3, and now we're starting on Psalm 4. Why? Because 4 is after 3, and we already did Psalm 3. So now we're doing Psalm 4. Here's what it says. Here is what I want you to catch. This is what King David said. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Now, we read stuff like this in the Psalms all the time, but what we don't catch is a lot of times poets and songwriters and people that write material make connections with the things that they write. Some lines build upon one another. Here's what you have. Is that exact scenario going on with King David as he writes this wonderful psalm of safety and of God's faithfulness. He says, hear me when I call, O God, my righteousness. Look it, you're not the only person that has prayed and said to God, are you listening? Hello, can you hear me? That's what David's doing to God. He's like, hello, knock, knock, hello. We do that. We do that with God. We do that because it's normal, because sometimes the Lord doesn't come flashing down with an angel going, I'm right here. What can I do for you? I'm ready to take care of you. I'm ready, but here we go. Here we go. That's not how it works. So David says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. And he knows that God is his righteousness. He knows that his righteousness is not self-developed, but dependent on the power of God. Then he says this, you have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy in me and hear my prayer. This is an amazing statement, just simple, because he says, you have, past tense, relieved me, past tense, in my distress. David is thinking about things that he went through, and he's like, you know, in the past, you have given me relief. And I know that, Lord. I was there. I was a part of it. And some of you know the relief of the Lord. You know that God has granted you relief, and he has relieved you from maybe even a fiery trial, a fiery moment, a fiery emotion that captures you so much you can't seem to escape it, and it overwhelms your thinking. God has given you, granted to you, grace and mercy, and you've experienced that. But that is for the past, and that's okay. You're supposed to remember that part of the past. You're supposed to remember. But the next line is this. He goes, you have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me, which is like the now. So he's going, yeah, you've helped me in the past. Yes, thank you for relieving me of my distress. And now I need you again. Have mercy on me right now. Hear my prayers. So he takes a past tense statement and combines it with a current or a present tense statement saying, you've helped me out before. I need you to help me again. And when you pray, guess what? That's normal. That's okay. That's all right to do that, to understand that God has been faithful before and he will be faithful again. And for you to ask him to be faithful again is good, is not a bad thing. It's in Scripture. It's a wonderful thing to understand that. So he says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. You helped me then. I need you to help me now. And here's something I'm going to give you, a little bit of nugget that this is kind of a cool thing. Verse 2, how long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? After David, in his prayer, addresses God, he turns it to the people who are mocking him and his faith. How long, are you sons of men, will you turn my glory into shame? You know what it is for us when we come before the Lord and pray and seek his presence and seek his answer and seek his graciousness in our lives? That's our glory. It's not our personal glory like we're exalted. That's a glorious thing for us. We enjoy the glory of God, and that engagement with God is awesome. But people mock us, right? They make fun of us. Dumb Christians. What do they say now? You know what they say. Flat earthers, which we never said. Okay? And Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22 said he sits on the circle of the earth. So we never thought that. But one thing we do know is when people mock us because of our faith, Jesus said this. He said, that's good. And you're thinking, how can that be good? Here David's like, he's calling these people. How long, are you sons of men, will you turn my glory into shame? I mean, he's just not even, no reservation. How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? These people seek after worthless things and they're full of lies. And David's like, how long are you going to do this? But Jesus said, hey, this is a great thing. They're mocking you? Wonderful. Isn't that terrific? You're thinking, what? Matthew chapter 5, 11 and through 13 talk about the reality that we're supposed to rejoice when people mock us. And you know who takes notice of that? Jesus. Yeah, people are mocking you. I get it. But you know who's not mocking you? God. He's putting it in his record book. Mocked for my name and standing firm in the faith. Check. Get it? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people and have so for the last 5 years from all across the range of Christianity, from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe, this September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey. This book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Thrilled to have you on the show. It's
Thank you. My privilege.
I just got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here.
Absolutely.
In the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? And she said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Let's get ready for our fish trivia question. Fish was supposed to be the word first, but I said, let's get ready for our fish trivia question. I would like to say that there was some kind of analytical, brilliant moment that took place there. But I'm going to tell you, taint the case. I just said fish instead of first. That's all there is to it. That's the spirituality. Here is the question. When the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness, what did they follow by night? When the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness, what did they follow by night? For those that do not know, your answer is going to be in Exodus 13, but I'm not going to tell you what verse. You are welcome to call in at 972-445-0770, or you're welcome to text in at 214-210-8483. Straightforward. When the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness, what did they follow by night? That is the question that we have asked. Okay, that's number one. Number two, we should probably do our DNA. Do you want to do DNA? You all right for that? All right, let's do some.
Let's do it.
Let's do DNA. We talk about DNA a lot, and the reason that we do, it's not the perfect thing. We don't ever tell anybody it is. What we're simply saying is, and it all came about because my brother was talking to me on the phone. I was driving back from the studio, and all this weird stuff was going on in the world, you know, like every day. And he said, well, how do you think we ought to be in the face of all this? And I said, well, Christians need to function in their DNA, and I just spattered off the top of my head. D standing for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
I mean, what is more important than drawing closer to God daily? Nothing. We need to be in a daily engagement. Jesus said when you pray, our Father out there in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. That's all you got to know right there. It's daily spending time with the Lord. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. If the D is for draw closer to the Lord daily, N is never be ashamed. Never let the world shame you. Never let Satan shame you from what the truth is, even if people don't like it. Tough. They don't have a heaven to put you in. Who cares? D, N, and then the A is always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which means you're willing to be a conduit between God and people, loving God, presenting yourself as a living sacrifice to him, and willing to love other people and be that vessel of that love, loving your neighbor as you love yourself. That's what our DNA is. Boy, that was a pretty good one. I'm just on fire today. That's a pretty funny statement, since the question is, when the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness, what did they follow by night? That's the question. What did I say? I think it was said it was Exodus. Did I say it was Exodus 13? Probably. Exodus 13. It's somewhere in there. If you guys don't know, check it out. We'll give you that chance. I've got many things coming up. Very excited about the things the Lord is doing in our little Christian community here. And it's like we said, this is not a church. It's like a fellowship. And a lot of people are blessed, and we have a chance to pray for people a lot more than ever, and hear some great stories and great testimonies. And we just appreciate it, and we need the prayers. We're not just there to, you know, this isn't a show in the capacity that I'm just going to tell you. This is all of us doing this together. I'm just your big, annoying brother. Okay, who sprained his ankle. My ankle's getting better, by the way, for those that are wondering, but I have not been to the gym for a while. So there is more of me for God to forgive.
Just let you figure that out. Okay. All right. Let me make one correction that I did wrong, because I like to make these kind of corrections. So I was telling you about the text where Jesus was saying, if people are mocking you because of your faith, that's good. Okay. But I gave you the wrong address. The address actually is Matthew 5:10-12, not 9-11. That happens. And 10 through 12 say this: blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. This is people that mock you, that make fun of your Christian faith. They're doing that because you're a Christian. Here's Jesus' response: rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. It's probably not trying to communicate that you are the prophet like before you, like Elijah or Elisha. I don't think that's where it's going. I think what the implication that Jesus is trying to teach people is that because people mock your Christian faith, that's actually good, because it's marking you down in heaven, and your reward grows. And so when people say something to you and you say, well, I'm going to pray about it, and they're like, pray about it. Why don't you just do something? Well, the answer is because we're dependent upon God for our breath, our steps, our decisions, and everything we do. Every breath you take is a gift from God, period. So I just wanted to make sure I made that correction, that the address was Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. So you have that corrected. All right. So right after he says that, David says that, we go into this next little section, which I think sometimes you read scripture and it's just like, it's so fascinating. So he talks about God being his relief in distress in the past. And so he says, have mercy on me, like now. Like, yeah, you helped me then. Now I need you help me now. Now, you don't want to say to God, what have you done for me lately? That is the wrong attitude. Do not have that attitude. You can just simply say, you've always been faithful before, and I just simply ask you to be faithful still. That's different. It's a different disposition, a different attitude. So we get relief from our past that gives us courage and strength for our present. Doesn't matter if people mock us. That just means things are good for us, right? And then David writes, but know that the – it's like, but know. What are we supposed to know, Dave? The know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. Now, this sounds much more religious than it is, and this happens, especially when you're in translations. But in the Hebrew, that phrase that says set apart means to make wonderful. Now, watch this when you take that from the Septuagint and you take that from the Vulgate and you kind of put it together. But know that the Lord has made wonderful for himself him who is godly. Here's the greatest part about this. That's you. He's set you apart, which by itself is an honor. He's bestowing honor just by using that phrase. And it's not that set apart is a bad phrase, but make wonderful is a better phrase. And it's like God has made you wonderful for him. He didn't make you wonderful because you are so good. And God's like, wow, I'm so impressed with Dave. He makes people wonderful for himself so that he can have his family, his people. And God has made you so unique, so blessed, so touched, such a masterpiece, such a work of art. And he made you for him. And here's the great part about God. You're not going to go into a museum. It's an interactive creation. You get to interact with your creator continually, for all eternity. And he made you wonderful for himself. And you think, well, he did it because I have a lot of really good righteous works. Nah, that's not why. All our righteousness is as filthy rags before the eyes of God. He did it for himself. And so when we go into eternity, he's going to enjoy his great masterpieces, his great works of art. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says we are his workmanship. The Greek word is masterpiece. We are his masterpiece. And he made us wonderful so he can hang out with us, and he made us his. I love that. God made you his. Now, you made decisions in this process, and I don't think taking away free will sounds like a brilliant concept, but taking away deeper or more profoundly divine sovereignty is also an important part of the process. And God said, I want David. He's coming in the kingdom with me. He's like, okay. And then what's in my heart? That's all I want. It's so funny when God works in your life, and I'll tell you, I think most of you can identify with this. When you pray something and you know God wants that in your life, and you're like, Lord, you know, examine me, make sure I got it going on, make sure I'm being honest, make sure I'm being, you know, forthright, you know, that whole process. And you're kind of communing with God at that level. Like you want to do it right. You want to say it right. You just want to have it, you know, present. Do you know that you don't create that? That's a gift from God that he puts inside of you that cries out from within you that says, Maker, Maker, let me be close to you. Isn't that cool? He puts that in you. And so it's a natural part of your existence, spiritual existence, because you want it, and that's what God wants for you. There's nothing like God. It's like, this is why I'm going to teach this teaching probably in 2 or 3 weeks. I don't know about next week, but ultimately, satisfaction on this planet is limited to your connection to God, because you can only find genuine, continual contentment, fulfillment, and satisfaction connected to the reason for which you were created. Everything else will fall short. You know when they say that saying, there's a crossed shape hole in your heart that only Jesus can fill? That's not wrong. And ironically, even though you plug that up from a salvation point of view, that continual desire and need for satisfaction can still only be met by God. It's so great. All right. When the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness, what did they follow by night? A pillar of fire. Ooh. Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. All right, we're going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, top of the hour. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Here's what it says. The sure way to avoid criticism. To avoid criticism, the article says, say nothing, do nothing, be nothing. That was said by a successful and innovative coach of the Philadelphia Flyers hockey team. Now, that's not the only reason I'm reading the article, not because it's just a hockey team coach thing, but here's what it says. Number one, say nothing and become the unwitting victim of everybody else's opinion or point of view. Two, do nothing and just watch life from the sidelines. Three, when our voices remain silent and our actions still, we are nothing.
The David Spoon Experience on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.